Hello, this is Ned Ryan, President of American Majority. In last week's podcast, I discussed the need for researching one's opponent and the basic nature of many politicians revolving around this idea of self-preservation. Today, I want to talk to you about the nature of political parties and your interaction with them. In 1797, one of the electors from Pennsylvania who had been selected by the Federalist Party of John Adams actually cast his vote in the Electoral College for the Republican Thomas Jefferson. "What," cried an angry Federalist writing to the Gazette of the United States, "do I choose Samuel Miles, the elector, to determine for me whether John Adams or Thomas Jefferson shall be president? No, I choose him to act, not to think." While much has changed in 200 plus years, the fact remains that the political parties would probably be much more comfortable with candidates who leave the thinking to the party. People think, and thinking people tend to think alike. Factions, as the drafters of the Federalist Papers termed them, or political parties in our modern terms, naturally arise from this fact. Generally speaking, then, there is a philosophical theme which binds the members of a political party, or key issues. The Democrats, as a national party, are pro-choice on the abortion issue. Republicans are usually pro-life. Democrats are usually more for taxes and growing government, and most Republicans are for lowering taxes, less spending, and shrinking the size of government. Presumably, you fit within this general theme, and this is why you are aligned with a certain party. Unfortunately, many who align with parties over time lose the ability to think for themselves and simply see what the party line is on a particular subject and act accordingly. While this is an easy way to proceed, you will hopefully find that the party simply cannot do all of your thinking for you. This is because every area of America has its own unique issues and viewpoints, which cannot be adequately centralized. The abortion issue and tax issue can be, but what about immigration issues, agricultural issues, free trade? Certain Republicans in different parts of the country agree on the abortion issue and tax issue, but don't on the others. The same holds true for the Democrat Party. Why is this? Because being for free trade or various immigration laws or for gun rights in certain parts of the country might be a dangerous position to take, even though the National Party might be for free trade or less stringent immigration laws. At an even deeper level, every person has his or her own moral convictions, and moral convictions should never be sacrificed for party allegiance. That is one of the problems that many officials, going back to the idea of self-preservation, face. Do they follow their own personal conviction and risk the wrath of their political party, or do they capitulate on their principles to avoid potential trouble? The problem, though, with making your principles subservient to the party is that the moment you do that, you will begin to lose the ability to persuade others with conviction. The reality is that you cannot expect your party to be in lockstep with you in every area, nor can it expect you to be in lockstep with it. Besides, many times the electorate wants to know that you can be independent of the party and will represent their issues when they are at odds with the national parties. But equally important on this issue of being independent is not to be so prideful that you believe you know everything yourself. The key to success in working with the party is praising the party for what they suggest and you utilize, while keeping your opinions to yourself regarding that information, strategy, etc., for which you have little use. Feuding or criticizing publicly the party achieves no political advantage. The fact of the matter is that the party needs you, and you need the party. They need you in office. You need them as a friend rather than as an enemy. Maintaining the fine line between cooperation and capitulation is not an easy task. The fact of the matter is that political parties are keenly interested in your race once the primary is over and you are into the general election, where they will do their best to not let you fail. To the party, this means putting your race into the normal structure with the normal message and the normal advisors. This is not true only because the party wants to see its beliefs furthered, but because your race directly impacts the party's livelihood. At the national and state legislature level, your race forms a part of a larger plan to obtain as many seats in Congress or the state legislature as possible. This is critically important, for whichever political party can muster a majority of seats will obtain the power to control the agenda for what pieces of legislation will actually be considered and passed. But perhaps even more importantly to the politicians, having the majority turns ordinary congressmen or state legislatures into the chairman of powerful committees. In some instances, congressmen or state legislators have waited a decade or more to obtain a committee chairmanship. At the national level, thousands of jobs can hang in the balance for leadership positions, members' offices, party positions, and the committees. Accordingly, the parties in Washington do not merely care whether you win or lose a race. Quite frankly, they're obsessed with it. The same is somewhat true at the state level as well. This obsession can be of real value to you. If you're running for Congress, the National Party will help you by providing talking points and general polling data. They have staff to help you strategize on the issues and enormous resources and data from prior campaigns. The party will take great pains early in the election cycle to identify those issues which they believe you should run on. These should not be readily discounted, given that the best pollsters in America have worked to craft the message which the National Party is promoting. Or at least, that's how it should be. However, America is a diverse country, and you must not simply accept the party line as the gospel truth. What is a good strategy in California may make for poor strategy in Indiana. Likewise, there are oftentimes very good issues to use, but which have been discounted by the National Party because of their impact in a particular region. For example, the National Party will likely be silent on such things as environmental extremism, a hot issue in rural areas, but taboo in the metropolitan regions. It is simply too controversial an issue to be handled at the national level. At the local level, the party dynamics are different. In many locations, the congressman is often the top of the ticket. As such, if there's a strong congressional candidate, the local candidates can hope to ride on the coattails of the congressional race. Perhaps even more concerning to the local party is that if the congressional candidate campaigns poorly, members of the opposite party could actually be motivated to come to the polls to vote for the lower ticket races. This is a huge concern to the local political party and to you if you're running for a lower office. Statistics show that for every 3 points that the top of the ticket loses by, it adversely affects lower ticket races of the same party by a point. For example, if the top of the ticket loses by 21 points, it will cost lower level races of the same party 7 points. That's why you shouldn't ignore the top of the ticket races. If they are going poorly, I'd suggest upping your vote total numbers and taking into account potential damage to your own election numbers. But back to the party structure. At the local level, it tends to be built as much upon personal relationships as upon ideology. In many places, the local parties operate as much as social clubs as they do as political factions so feared by the drafters of the Federalist Papers. I want to make this clear. As in every other aspect of life, relationships are vital in politics. From the national level on down to the local, there are usually men and women that will be of great benefit to you, either based on financial context or political context, that will be of help to you if you befriend them. Creating and cultivating those relationships are very important. It should be stressed that we are not suggesting you form relationships merely for political gain, but it is very useful to make friends with local politicals. With a little work, you can usually find out who the movers and shakers are in your district.